the loosening of censorship rules during the course of the 1970s gave birth to many films that would both challenge and provoke. Wes Craven's Last House on the Left being one of the most infamous movies from that era. I'm Stephen Archibald, and welcome to my movie podcast.
Marie and her friend.
I feel like a woman for the first time in my life.
Two girls from the suburbs going to the city to have a good time.
Oh, this is my roommate, Sam.
Hi, girls.
This is my sister, Martha. Martha, these girls, want to buy some grass.
Four killers on the loose, also looking for a good time.
Hello to you, and this is They Came From Within Cult Movie Reviews, Revenger's Tragedy, Last House on the Left, 1972. The 1970s, what a febrile period it was in cinematic terms. Several movies dealt head-on with violence and sex, and even the disturbing subject of sexual violence, which is where Wes Craven's still shocking debut feature, Last House on the Left, comes in. And who would believe that it is based on one of the major works of a great European director. But more on that shortly. The Rolling Stones concert film Gimme Shelter from 1970 is thought by some to symbolise the death of the hippie counterculture movement, in that a young black man called Meredith Hunter was killed by a Hell's Angel during the show. Wes Craven's movie, made a couple of years later, drove another nail in the coffin of the hippie dream of love and peace conquering all. Around the time of her 17th birthday, Mary Collingwood plans to attend a rock concert with her wayward friend Phyllis Stone. Mary's parents, John and Estelle, are anxious to see her go. She's even given the gift of a necklace, which carries the symbol of peace. En route to the concert, Mary and Phyllis have the misfortune of attempting to buy dope from a shifty-looking young man, one who leads them to an apartment. This individual's name is Junior, and the innocent girls get to encounter the scary Krug, an equally fearsome woman called Sadie, and a creep who is aptly nicknamed Weasel. Unfortunately, this unsavoury foursome are sadistic, hardened criminals who've just escaped from prison, and the lives of poor Mary and Phyllis are soon to be snubbed out in the very worst way imaginable. For his hard-hitting screenplay, Wes Craven drew inspiration from Ingmar Bergman's brilliant arthouse film, The Virgin Spring, which was released in February 1960, and which won an Oscar for Best Foreign Language Film. Craven's picture could not hope to match the artistry of the Swedish original, but it's an equally powerful tale of rape, murder, and revenge. Wes was from a generation of youth made to feel cynical and outraged by the horrors of the Vietnam War. No wonder Last House on the Left took a realistic, documentary-style approach to depicting acts of extreme violence. As Pauline Kael put it, the film's grainy, banal seriousness works for it, gives it a crude realism. Wes Craven was drawn to making cinema films after he saw a dubious sex education movie called The Art of Marriage, which was released in March 1970. It was directed by Sean S. Cunningham, who would go on to direct Friday the 13th in 1980. Craven ended up as assistant editor on Sean's second movie, called Together in 1971. It was purchased by Hallmark and became a modest hit. Enough of one for Hallmark to hand Cunningham and Craven $90,000 to make this very horror flick, Craven being its writer-director and Cunningham its producer. Then known for a few stage performances and for appearing in such soap operas as All My Children and As the World Turns, the lovely Sandra Peabody took the part of the ill-fated Mary Collingwood, and her suffering is heartbreakingly real, as is that of Lucy Grantham, who portrays Phyllis Stone. And Phyllis remains courageous and defiant until she draws her last breath.
They meet in the last house on the left. What began as a birthday party ends as a nightmare.
I want to give you something.
I don't want that.
It's worth a lot.
I don't want
it. I want to be your friend.
No, you want to get free.
I want to be your friend.
It is said that Sandra Peabody genuinely found making this movie a terrifying experience. At one stage, she even left the set and had to be persuaded to return. Believe it or not, this film was originally meant to be a hardcore sex film, but then Craven decided to rewrite it, transforming it into an unadulterated horror movie. And its working title was Night of Vengeance. The deplorable Krug Stilo was played by David Hess, who had never appeared in a movie before this one. In fact, Hess was first known as a musician and songwriter, and he even composed the music for this film with Stephen Chapin. Hess also provided his singing skills. Martin Cove was originally considered for the part of Krug, but for some unknown reason, he preferred to take the part of the idiotic Deputy Harry instead. But it was Cove who suggested that his friend David Hess could play Krug. The incompetent cops, Marshal Anker's sheriff, and Cove's Deputy Harry were brought in for a spot of light relief, but this was seriously ill-judged by the filmmakers in such a bleak film. Anyhow, Cove's comedic skills were better served a few years later in Paul Bartel's delirious Death Race 2000. David Hess would also play memorably unpleasant types in such Italian shockers as Hitchhike, aka Autostop, Rosso Sangue, and The House on the Edge of the Park, aka La Casa Sperduta nel Parco. Tragically, David Hess died from a heart attack on the 7th of October 2011, whilst he was leaving a concert in California. He was 75. The sadistic Sadie was portrayed by Jeremy Rain. Around this period, Jeremy had played the Charles Manson acolyte, Susan Atkins, aka Sadie Mae Glutz, in an off-Broadway production called 22 Years. And in another chilling echo with this movie, Miss Rain claimed in a 2009 interview that she was once picked up hitchhiking by Charles Manson and the Manson family member Tex Watson. Jeremy was married to the actor Richard Dreyfuss between 1983 and 1995. Mary's distraught and vengeful parents, John and Estelle Collingwood, were portrayed by Eleanor Shaw and Richard Towers under the pseudonyms Cynthia Carr and Gaylord St. James. Incidentally, Sandra Peabody was listed as Sandra Cassell. Steve Miner served as an assistant editor on this movie, and he even made a cameo appearance. Miner would go on to direct the second and third Friday the 13th movies, as well as Halloween H2O, Last House on the Left, was filmed at various locations in New York and Connecticut between the 2nd of October and the 6th of November 1971, and it was unleashed on the world on the 30th of August 1972. I first saw Last House on the Left in my early teens. The brutal violation and murder of Mary and Phyllis upset me so much that I had nightmares for weeks afterwards. This is an unpleasant film, but one with serious intent. I'm Stephen Archibald, and thank you very much for listening to my podcast, They Came From Within, Cult Movie Reviews. You can follow me if you like, and each and every one of my episodes are available via most podcast outlets. Take good care of yourselves, stay safe, and goodbye for now.
Junior.
To avoid fainting, keep repeating to yourself, it's only a movie. Only a movie. Only a movie. Only a movie. Last House on the Left.